you can be seated. Thank you, praise and worship team. I think that last song was quite fitting, since last week we talked about being planted and being grounded, and not letting the storms of life or the circumstances or our frustrations or our impatience to cause us to dig up that seed and not let it take root and produce fruit. So we're going to talk about that again this morning. We're going to talk about being rooted and planted and bearing fruit. And how to stay planted and what to stay planted in. You're not going nowhere, are you? Don't take a break. You don't get no breaks. I've got a lot to cover this morning. So we're going to go fast, so hold on. Last night we were at Fred Matheson's his roast, and the comedian, the MC, that's one of the things he said was buckle up. So buckle up this morning, we've got a lot to cover. Jeremiah 17, we read this last week. It says, "Blessed with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts in and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is the Lord. For he will be nourished like a tree planted by the waters that spread out its roots by the river and will not fear the heat when it comes, but its leaves will be green and moist, and it will not be anxious and concerned in a year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit." Those who trust and hope in the Lord, they will be like trees planted by the waters and will continuously bear fruit. One of the ways to be planted and to stay planted is in the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, it says, "Remember what you were taught from your childhood, from the Holy Scrolls, which can impart to you wisdom to experience everlasting life through the faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into paths of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you." So the Word of God, it empowers you, it strengthens you, it shows you the right direction to go in, and it leads you deeper into godliness. We have to stay planted in the Word of God. Reading your Bible every day is important. It is so important. You know, I used to struggle with reading my Bible because I would read it and it just didn't make sense. So two things that you can do with that is pray and ask that God open up revelation to you. And He will. He will open up revelation. The other thing is try a different translation. You don't have to read from the King James Version. You can read from a different translation. I started reading from a different translation. It opened things up to me, and now I like to check all the translations and see what is it saying, and I like to look deeper in it. So read the Word of God. Stay grounded. It's important. This is where you plant your life. In Joshua 1, verse 8, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful." Rooted and grounded in the Word will make your way prosperous, and you will be successful. It's so important to ground your life on what the Word of God is saying, because especially in these days when we're on social media, we're looking at Facebook, we look at Instagram, we're watching TV, we watch the news, and everything is pushing an agenda. Everything is pushing an agenda, and the more that you look at it, the more you contemplate if what you believe is right or if you should believe what they say. Sometimes it's so subtle you don't even realize that you're adopting patterns that are contrary to the Word of God. That is why it's important that you must be in the Word of God so that when you see things or when you hear things or when the world begins to change its viewpoint that is contrary to the Word of God, you know what the Bible says and you know that your life is rooted and planted in what God says. But you need to stay rooted and planted in it to know this is what God says. This is what I believe. The Word of God never changes. Some people would argue and say that it is not valid today, or it's not that the Word of God is, you know, thousands of years ago and, you know, things have changed and God just, I guess, didn't know that things were going to change in life. That the Word of God isn't, I'm trying to think of the word, but relevant, thank you. That the Word of God isn't relevant today. It is relevant today. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Word of God is relevant today. So whatever is going on today, you will find in the Word of God and what our stance is. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us the way to go. So another way to stay rooted and grounded is in Him and in His presence. Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots grow down deep into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will go strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Jeremiah 17, which we said, it says, blessed with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts in and relies on the Lord and whose hope is confident expectation in Him. We must let our roots go down deep, stay planted in Him. So like we talked about last week, when hard times come, when storms come, it must be Him that we run to, not the other way. We stay planted in Him. When everything goes wrong in our lives, we go back to Him. Because if you don't go back to Him, the waves will begin to carry you away. You stay planted in Him, knowing that I trust in You. I am confident in who You are because You are faithful. No matter what, I stay planted and rooted in Him. So we stay planted and rooted in Him. That's number two. Number three, rooted and planted in your church. In Psalms 92, verse 12, it says, the righteous will flourish like a date palm. We read this last week too. Long-lived, upright, and useful. They will grow like the cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they will still thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. They will flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust and love and contentment. So planted, verse 12 says, planted in the house of the Lord. That word house means temple. It means house. It means family. Planted in the house of the Lord. Have you ever walked into a grocery store? You stopped at the grocery store because you needed to get something. And so you walk into the grocery store, you walk in, and all of a sudden you don't remember what it is you're there for. So then you walk around and you just start buying stuff. Like, I think we need milk. I'll get some milk. I think we need some butter. And you're buying things and you leave and then you get home and you remember, ugh, apples. We needed apples. Have you ever done that? Have you ever walked into a room that you've gone to go get something? You walk into the room, you get there and you go, why am I here? I know I came to get something, but I don't remember why I'm here. I believe that many of us over the years have gone to church. We go to church. We show up at church because we know it's the thing that we do. It's the thing that happens on Sunday morning. We go to church. But did we forget why we come here? We're going to talk about that. We're going to spend some time in this. 1 Timothy verse 3 says, I hope to come to you before long, but I am writing these instructions to you in case I am delayed, so that you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. The pillar and the foundation of the truth. Can you turn Jordan down in the monitors a little bit? I realize that I'm yelling to talk over him, which you guys probably can't hear how loud it is up here, but 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you know and understand that You, the church, are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you, collectively and individually. The Spirit of God dwells in you collectively and individually. So yes, you have the Spirit of God, you have the presence of God in you, but it's saying it's not just you, it's when you all gather together. You can turn them up a little bit more. You just shut them right off. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The church is still important today. The church is still relevant today. Can you turn them up a little bit more, please? It was a violent extreme from loud to nothing. Hebrews 10 says, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Did you see that? Because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the dawning. So, meeting together. Why are we coming together at church? It's not just for us. It's not just to meet our needs. We're coming together because we should be eager to be looking to meet the needs of one another. You know, one time I was at a service, and it wasn't a service at our church, and it wasn't at the Apostolic a week ago. It was just to be clear what I'm about to tell you. And so I was at a service, and you know, I didn't really want to go to the service because I wasn't really a fan of the preacher. You know, it just doesn't preach my style. It's not my thing, you know? And so I'm probably don't even really want to go, but I went anyway, ended up ministering to someone. And I walked away and I thought, and I just felt God ministering to me about how many times I've decided I'm not going to that service, or I don't like that preacher, or, you know, I don't like that praise and worship, or whatever. I don't like it. I'm not going. And how many times I've missed opportunities to show up and minister to somebody else. What if it was never about me? And so I walked away and I thought, what a snob. You're a snob. You've been a snob. A Christian snob. The church needs to get to the place where we realize that it is not just about us. We are here to show up and to see and be eager. Who can I minister? Whose needs can I meet? Can I pray with somebody? Can I give them a hug? Can I see if they're okay? Because what's it say? That this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Right, Jaden? In Luke 4, verse 16, it says, when he came, oh, this is so interesting, this verse. You know, many people today, they think that they don't need the church, that they can just worship God at home and that will be good enough. That is not biblical. And Jesus, this is so interesting, because Jesus, he went to church every Sunday. Did you know this? I didn't know this until I read it, I don't know, a while ago, and I went, what? I just pictured Jesus as like, you know, he was holding his own church services and he was healing people and he was, you know, doing his own thing. But he wasn't. He was also showing up to church on Sunday. It says, Luke 4, verse 16, when he came to Nazareth, where he had been raised, he went into the synagogue as he always did on the Sabbath day. He went to church every Sunday. It was his habit, another translation says. Romans 12, verse 5, it says, so we who are many are nevertheless just one body in Christ, and individually, we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on each other. Look at that, mutually dependent on each other. So those that say, I don't need nobody, I don't need anybody, it's not true. God created us to be dependent on one another. That you have stuff in your life that I need, that I have stuff in my life you need, we need each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage and comfort one another and build up one another just as you were doing. That we have to go from being center focused to myself. And there's a time, sometimes, you know what? You've had a rough week, you've been going through some things, and you just like, I'm showing up and I need someone to pray with me. That's okay, that's what church is for too. But it can't always be about us. That we show up, that we prepare ahead of time. God, I'm a vessel, use me. God, how do you want to use me in this? I'm going to show up and I'm going to look for somebody that I can speak to and look for somebody that I can pray with and hug and see if they're okay. Maybe go for coffee with them. This is why he put us together. This is why he planted us together, to encourage one another. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. You know, I've had, you know, when God puts a body of people together, it's not always going to be easy. You're not always going to like each other. Any husbands and wives in this place that have 100% of all the days married, you have had the best life ever. Not one argument. Oh, patience. Praise the Lord. She's doing the next marriage conference. It's great. But, you know, it's not, you know, there are times where you have to work. There are times where your marriage, you got to dig in. It's like, whew, maybe we've wandered a little far or whatever. You got to dig in. And it's the same thing in your church relationships. It's not always going to be easy. I've struggled. I've had times where I had to evaluate, God, is this where you have me planted? But once you know that this is where God has you planted, then unless he says go, you stay planted. Don't let the enemy run you out of church, because his goal is to isolate you. The enemy knows that there is power in community. He knows that there's power in community. And so his job is to isolate you, to get you disconnected, to weaken the power. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there I'll be. One can put 1,000 to flight. The Bible says this too. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. He knows that in community, there is power. So he will try to divide and conquer. You must stay planted. When I was studying for this, I believe that God was showing me that there are some that will come. They come every Sunday. They believe in the principle of being part of a local church. They believe it, but they will not allow their hearts to connect. That they show up at church, but their hearts are hardened. There's walls up, and they won't allow themselves to connect. Your roots can't grow down deep that way. Because God created community, vulnerability. In James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins one to another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another, that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. He says, Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another. That's speaking of vulnerability. That's speaking of open lives. To be able to speak to each other. And I'm not saying that you're getting up, you know, in Sunday morning and just letting everyone know. It speaks of relationship. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, just as each of you have received a special gift, a special talent, and an ability graciously given by God, employ it in serving one another as is appropriate for good stewards of God, multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diverse varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. He says, I've given each of you special gifts. Now use it by serving each other. That you must serve one another in your church. Think about it. God gave you each certain gifts, and then he places you in a body so that each of you would be able to accomplish a greater thing because of the gifts that he gave you. He says, I gave you a gift. Now, to be a good steward of it is to use it by serving. By serving one another. Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, and he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, some with grace to be prophets, some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. That we are all placed here to do our own works of ministry. To enlarge the body of Christ. You know, there are some that, because they have walls up, and because they have hearts that have been hardened through hurt, and maybe even fear of connection, is that you won't serve the body of Christ either because you're hurt. Because you have walls up. God wants to break those down. First Corinthians verse 12, the same God distributes different kinds of miracles that accomplish different results through each believer's gift and ministry as he energizes and activates them. Each believer is given continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just himself, but all. All of it is not just about you. Do you see this? All the theme, all through the scriptures, this is not just about you. It's for everyone. Anything you walk through, it's not just about you. It's to benefit all. That we would see our gathering, that we would look at the ones that we sit next to, the churches that God has put us in, that we would look next to the ones and realize that I'm here for you. I have something to offer you. That we would see each other through the eyes of love. It goes on in verse 12, it says, just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, whether we're Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink in deeply the same Holy Spirit. In fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. So if the foot were to say, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it's forgetting it's still a vital part of the body. And if an ear were to say, since I'm not an eye, I'm not really part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still an important part. You are still an important part of this body. You are needed. You ever think of greeters? The greeters at the front door. They could say, I'm not the pastor. I'm not part of a prayer team. I'm not part of the worship team. I'm just a greeter. I just stand at the door and say, hello, welcome. Do you understand every aspect of serving within your local, how important it is? Greeters, you are the first person that somebody sees when they walk in the door. You're the first face that they see. New people that come in, you're their first point of contact. How important is that? There are chairs that you're sitting on. What if we walked into church on Sunday morning and there were no chairs? Welcome to the floor. If you walked into the bathrooms and they were filthy, there are things that go on that we have no idea. People are serving on a regular basis, and I mean, we're thankful that we have chairs, but we don't realize every piece of the puzzle is important. There are things that God has placed on you, in you, things that you're naturally good at for service. Being a good steward, serving. John 15 says, I am the true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to me. Okay. So he's saying, I live in you, you live in me. You stay joined to me. And a lot of us would say, as long as I just have Jesus in me, it's just me and Jesus, me and the Lord. He just speaks to me and he ministers to me, and I don't need people because I have three. I have God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, and it just blesses me. But look at this. We are to remain in Jesus, but if Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, to remain in him is to remain in the body. Did you get that? It's not just me and Jesus. Jesus is the head of the body. He put all of us together, mingled us all together. So to remain in Jesus is to remain with the people. John 15, verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed and placed and purposely planted you. Now, sometimes we think that we end up in places by accident. But you have been purposely planted so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, that your fruit would remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask of the Father in his name, as his representative, he may give it to you. Just as a plant requires the right environment to grow in, right? You buy those plants and it says like full sun, shade, whatever. Maybe needs more fertilizer. I have no green thumb at all. I plant plastic flowers. You guys know that. So I'm fake. No, I'm kidding. But just as a plant requires a certain kind of soil, a certain kind of environment to grow in, so do you. And God knew exactly what environment you needed to be planted in to grow and bear fruit. In Proverbs 28, verse 20, it says, a faithful man will abound in blessing. One of the other ways to remain planted and rooted and bearing fruit is to remain in faithfulness. In your job, in your marriage, in anything that God has gotten you to do, that he's placed in your life, in your church, you remain in faithfulness. Because it says a faithful man will abound with blessing. Faithful means reliable, steadfast, unwavering. God is faithful. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, be imitators of God. So if God is trustworthy, if God is faithful, we imitate what he does. He's true to his word. He's reliable. The word says in Psalms 33 verse 4, for God's word is something to sing about. He is true to his promises. His words can be trusted, and everything he does is reliable and right. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That in my job, I show up, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. No matter what, I stay faithful. If this is what God has given me, I stay faithful. In my marriage, with my kids, I stay faithful. How am I to treat my wife? I stay faithful. How am I to treat my husband? I stay faithful. How am I to treat my kids? I stay faithful. It, 1 Samuel 12 says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. Proverbs 3:3 says, hold on to loyal love and don't let go and be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity with truth written upon your heart. I remember when I was working with the students in the school, 15 years approximately, I worked with the students in the school teaching them drama. And I think it was 15. I mean, I taught a lot of people who are old now, so. So I would show up. It used to be every Monday afternoon, every Wednesday afternoon, I would show up and I would teach, and then it moved to Wednesdays all day. 15 years. Teenagers. It wasn't always easy. It was hard, and I didn't get paid. Not that that matters. I just show up. I took a day off work so that I could teach the kids. And there were times where you get backlash from the kids, backlash from the parents, and it was just like, why do I do this again, God? I want to quit. And I loved them. Don't get me wrong, any of them that are here like, what, she wanted to quit? I thought she loved me. I did. But there were times. And I'd want to quit, and it was like, you know what? This is my last year. I'm not doing this next year. And every year that I said that, God would say, no, you're not done. Stay planted. They need you. Stay planted. So I'd show up. And it wasn't ever easy, but it was important that I stayed planted, that God had a purpose for me. I learned so much in those years. I learned that screaming and yelling at children doesn't really help. Am I right, Jordan? I learned how to counsel kids. I learned how to listen to what they were saying. I saw God move in amazing ways sometimes. I learned how to champion building someone up. I learned so many things. He kept me planted for a reason. And he connected my heart to them. But was it always easy? No. You have to remain faithful. Is it where God's planted you? Is the job that you have where he planted you? Is where he has you serving was where he planted you? You must stay faithful. You can't uproot that seed like we talked about last week because times got hard. You got to let your roots go down deep so that fruit can come. Be faithful with what God has given you. Luke 16, verse 10, he who is faithful is in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in what is much. So if God's given you that job, stay faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 says, in this case, moreover, it is required and as essential and demanded of stewards that one be found faithful and trustworthy. Stay faithful. The last one that I'm going to talk about is in your community. In your community, stay rooted and grounded in your community. I believe that God has called us to communities. Maybe not forever, but while you're there, you stay rooted and grounded. Look at it. It says in Psalms 44:2, it says, you drove out the pagan nations with your own hand, then you planted and established Israel. It was by your power you uprooted the pagan people, then you spread them abroad. Psalms 80 verse 8, it says, you uprooted a vine, Israel, from Egypt. You drove out the Canaanite nations, and then you planted the vine, Canaan. He plants you in a community. I always think of Philip and Nolene. Living in South Africa, they have a story of how they came to live in Prince Albert. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. But God highlighted Prince Albert. Prince Albert? Planted. Moved them from one place to another because you're needed here. Your giftings, your callings are needed here. Steward them well here. And the same thing with us. We are here, and he calls us to this place and plants us to steward our gifts well in our community. Look at this verse that I finally found. All of you that I was asking about this verse, Joan finally helped me. Jeremiah 3:14. Get ready for it. Return, O faithless children of the 12 tribes, says the Lord, for I am the master and husband to you. I will take you not as a nation, but individually, one from a city and two from a tribe, and I will bring you to Zion. He takes one from here and one from there, and he plants them where he wants them, where he knows that they will flourish, where he knows that they're needed in this community, in this place, I'll plant them. In Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. Look at this. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He plants you in a place so that he would be glorified. It goes on to say, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. Who? Those that are planted. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. It's about going outside of the building, of the church. That yes, we're planted in here, we serve within here, but then we go outside and be the church out there. Serve our community. That's what we're here to do. You say, how do I serve the community? Start by asking, how can I help? You could go to police stations. You could go anywhere. What can I do? You look for boards, serve on them. How can I serve my community? If you will serve your community, it'll change the way you look at your community. Because now you've become part of building it up. The Bible says here in Isaiah 61 that you'll be part of rebuilding it. He planted you there so that you would be part of rebuilding things that were ruined. You'd be part of restoring what's broken down. Here, placed in a community to bring restoration, to bring rebuilding. I remember when I served on the Winter Festival Board. I only did it for 1 year, but I'll never forget showing up. There was a call that went forth, and it was the president of the board who had ran the Winter Festival Board for a while, and he made a call for people to come. He needed to talk. It was, and so a whole bunch of the community showed up. And there was talk of the Winter Festival closing down, shutting down. Couldn't find volunteers. It used to be a board that had tons of volunteers, tons of people that would help. And so I remember showing up at the meeting, and I don't know why I showed up. I honestly don't know. I was like suddenly there. just felt like, I'm going to go. I don't like winter. I don't like being outside, but I'm going to show up. So I show up at this meeting, and the president of the Winter Festival, like broken, exhausted, I gave it my all, honestly, and he's talking to us like, I can't go on. So if somebody doesn't pick this up, I'm done. And, you know, he made a call, he showed the finances, and it was just, everything was just this mess. And I just found myself like, putting my hand up, like, yes, I'll help. I'll do it. And many others did. But there was an anointing that filled the room as a community came together and said, well, I'm helping. I'll build this back up. I'll build this city back up. That if we would realize the importance of how God planted us in a community with the giftings and the callings that we have to build, to rebuild, to restore a city. It's about a city. Imagine what would happen if the church all over, all of us, because we're all the church, began to be seen and heard throughout all of Prince Albert. What would that look like? If the church was showing up everywhere, doing what it needed, serving, laying their life down. I'm here. Tell me what to do. I got this. All of us showing up, looking for ways to serve our community. You know, Daniel in the Bible, he was put in uncommon places to serve, and he brought wisdom and he brought order. We can do the exact same thing. I remember the Winter Festival that one year. It was the most exhausting thing that I think I've ever done. Honestly, we would come home, it was five of us, we were trying to bring it together that one year, and we would just come home at night, and I remember I would just cry. I was physically exhausted. But little by little, more people, I left the board after a year, but little by little, more people began to come, and they began to change the face of it, because people had a revelation of serving my community. This is important to the people in Prince Albert, so it's important to me. So staying rooted and grounded in your city. Going outside of the building, a good steward of the giftings of God that he has given me. There are things that he has given me that can be used to help other people. So I'll be a good steward of that. And I will use it to serve in whatever capacity. Adam, you can come. So I challenge you this morning in the ways of being rooted and grounded so that you can bear much fruit. Being faithful, serving, connecting to a church, connecting to a people that God has said, these are your people, this is where I've planted you, so that you could grow and bear fruit.